together. But that's what we're going to talk about. We, all of us suffer in a lot of different ways. A lady one time who was in her upper 80s, pastor went to see her, and she said, "Pastor, I just can't understand why I'm bedridden and I'm hurting all the time." And the pastor said, "Well, I know your problem." She said, "What's my problem?" He said, "You're getting old." All of us get old. Yes, sir. Thank you.
All of us get old, and as we get old, there are some things that just happen to our bodies, and it's a kind of a natural thing, and I don't know that, you know, sometimes God chooses to intervene, and sometimes he doesn't in those situations, but sometimes, you know, sometimes we maybe ingest some things that harm us. Sometimes there are some toxins and chemicals that we take in our bodies, and it just... Did you know that our bodies are not made to live forever? Did you know that?
Hallelujah.
Now, at one time they were. But then when sin entered, that kind of put a damper on us, our bodies living together forever. One day you're going to get a new body. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When you get to heaven, if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, one day there will be no more pain, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more disease. Hallelujah. Another reason people suffer is because some people, because they're Christians, go through persecution. We, talking to the boys group the other night, one kid said, "You know what, as a Christian, I'm bullied at school." Maybe you've experienced some persecution. Scripture says, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted. People say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for great is your reward in heaven. You can rejoice." So if you're being persecuted, don't fight against it. Say, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, I've got a great reward in heaven." God has some great things in store for you. We find in Hebrews chapter 11, where these guys are broken, they are beaten, they are some sawn asunder, some are killed for the cause of Christ. That's going on today and throughout the world, but you know what? They can rejoice because great is their reward in heaven. I think greater are the rewards of heaven for those who go through martyrdom and those kind of persecutions than probably we have, who have life so easy. Sometimes we suffer because of being tested and tried and tempted, but that's only to make you stronger. Okay? It's only to make you stronger. Did you know that sometimes you're suffering because Satan attacks you? Did you know that? Yeah, I'm going to do something, and I was praying about that this last night. But somebody said in their prayer not long ago, "We are a non-denominational Baptist church."
Come on.
Well, after this, some people call us a Baptist-costal. But after this, this may be something that you kind of like, "Man, that's a weird Baptist church." But this, thanks, Tom. So how many of you have some pain today, somewhere in your body? Okay. Did you know that sometimes Satan is the one who causes that? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand on the pain, and we're going to and if it's Satan, we're going to command Satan to leave in the name of Jesus and take the pain away. Okay? So put your hand on the pain, wherever your pain is, and I want you to call it by its name, whether it's arthritis or whether it's toothache or whatever it is. I want you to call it by its name, and I want you to command it to leave in the name of Jesus. We're going to do this together, okay? So in the name of Jesus, and by the power of his blood, I command you, Satan, Take the pain.
Amen.
Go to the feet of Jesus. Arthritis? Go to the feet of Jesus. Toothache? Go to the feet of Jesus. Whatever it is, backache? Go to the feet of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So remind me after service, because I want to see how many of you are pain-free after service. Sometimes you can command the Satan to leave and the pain to leave, and if it's him, he has to go if you command him to go in the name of Jesus. Okay? All right. How many of you believe that? All right. I have suffered from pain periodically, and I can tell that guy to leave, and he leaves in the name of Jesus. And I know if he attacks me that way, he can attack you that way. Now, here's the deal. You ready for the next step? Sometimes, if there is sin, if we're harboring sin in our life, then the enemy has a right to be there and bring pain. So are you willing for me to ask the Lord to show you if there's any sin in your life that would allow the enemy to affect you in that manner? Well, I'm going to do it anyway. Okay? All right. So, and I want, all you have to do is listen. I don't want you to think. And what I mean by listening is just clear your mind and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And it can speak to you in a picture form. It can speak to you in a word form. A thought may come to mind. Okay? And so I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to reveal any sin that would cause the enemy regarding pain to affect you. So, Father, I come before you today. Lord, you said that we are overcomers and that we can overcome Satan and all his effects that he has on us. But Lord, sometimes your scripture teaches us that sometimes the enemy has a right to affect us physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, if our hearts aren't right with you. And so, Lord, we come before you right now, and I'm asking you to reveal to each person here if there's anything in their heart that would give the enemy a right to afflict them with the pain that they're experiencing at this time. Is there anything that immediately came to mind as I prayed? You don't have to raise your hand. Okay? But if there was, it's probably something you need to address with the Father and ask the Lord to forgive you of, repent of, and once you do that, then you can command the pain to leave in the name of Jesus. Someone came to me this week and said, I'm having some pain in my back. I said, is there something that God is asking you to do that you're unwilling to do? And they said, yeah. Don't allow that to take up residence in your life. You don't have to live with that. You can choose to. You can choose to. Okay. Another reason we suffer is because Scripture calls it chastisement. It calls it correction. And oftentimes we get out of balance by being disobedient to the Lord. The Lord tells us to do something, and we say, we take it as if God is making a suggestion. And usually God's not making a suggestion. Usually God is explaining to, telling us, this is what I would want you, this is what I want you to do. And oftentimes we don't get a choice. I mean, we can, but it's not healthy for us if we choose not to. Do you remember a guy named Jonah? Okay? When we choose to go against God, God teaches us that He's going to chastise His children. I was with the boys group the other night, and I knew I was preparing for this message, and I asked the boys, I said, how many of you have ever been spanked by your parents? And everybody, and everything got deathly silent. Didn't it, Tom?
Sam said, I didn't raise my hand.
No, he didn't raise his hand. He said, we don't talk about that. Everybody just silent. And I understand, because we're living in a day and an age where you can get in trouble by the law if you correct your children. It's like, yeah, aren't we living in a crazy world? Man, things have just changed dramatically from the time. And my son and I were talking about it just the other day. He said, man, even when I was a kid, it was not like this. And he's not that old. Of course not. I'm not that old. But here's what I want to do. I want to paint an accurate picture of God. Because what happens is that there's so many people who think that God is all gracious, all loving, all caring, which He is, but that He doesn't address sin issues in a person's life. And so a Christian can live whatever way they want to, and God's just kind of okay with it because He's so loving and so gracious. That's a wrong picture of God. And then there's this other picture of God where God is just waiting to smack somebody if they get out of line. That's an incorrect picture of God as well. But what we're going to discover this morning is that God is an absolutely loving God who will discipline His children if they won't obey. Okay? So I've asked this morning if Nicholas would read to us our focal passage. And so he's going to come up here, and we're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 13.
And have you forgotten the encountering words God spoke to you as His children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His own. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? And if God doesn't discipline you as He does all of His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong.
Thank you, Nicholas. Good job. So this is one thing I remember about discipline. It hurts. Okay? It hurts. It's supposed to hurt. My dad would used to say things like, man, this hurts me worse than it does you. I didn't believe it. Didn't believe it. But he disciplined us. How many of you today got, here today, ever got spanked, whipped, smacked by your parents for doing something wrong? How many of it you think it hurt? It always hurt. And it was supposed to hurt. So the reason you were given that discipline is so that you wouldn't continue to engage in the behavior that you had been engaging in prior to the discipline. Do you know when I quit smoking? I used to smoke cigarettes. I did. I quit smoking when I was 6. You know why? My dad caught me. And he made a believer out of me. You know, I'm grateful for Dad's discipline. I wasn't then. He told me to go out and cut my own switch. So I went out and got a little rotten stick. Said it wasn't good enough. I had to go back. I went back 2 or 3 times before it was the one he wanted. Made a believer out of me. But I'm really glad for his loving discipline. God has ways that he disciplines his children. One of the ways that he disciplines his children, probably the first way, is conviction. So we are convicted in our heart that what we're doing is not what God wants us to do. And we can either repent, come back to the Lord, or we can continue doing what we've been doing. If conviction doesn't work, then oftentimes there is a withdrawal of the Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit isn't in you, he just quits talking to you. So why would the Holy Spirit, if he tells you something to do or not do, and you don't listen to him, and you pray, Lord, just tell me what to do. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I just want to walk with you. And the Holy Spirit says, well, you're not doing what I told you to. So, when you do the last thing the Lord told you to, he will begin leading you in the next step. Okay? Now, God loves you, and he's trying to take you to some places. But if you're unwilling to go, then it can get a little more difficult. One of the things, and I don't know if you've ever had this or not, but I have had the Lord give me a sharp reproof. Okay? Don't do that. I remember one time I was preaching in Rufus, Oregon. Big metropolis. As I was preaching in Rufus, the Lord had led me to preach on John chapter 15. I was preaching revival, and the Lord led me to preach on chapter 15 of John. And while we were going visiting, the pastor and associate pastor were in the front seat, I was in the back seat, and they started discussing John chapter 15. And while they were discussing it, I'm thinking, well, that's not what I understand John 15 to say. And I'm wondering, should I preach tonight? This is what I heard. And it sounded like my dad. He said, Brad, you preach what I tell you to preach. It's like, oh! I said, yes, sir. I must not have said it out loud because the guys in the front didn't turn around. But in my heart, it was like, yes, sir. And I remember that. And so every Sunday morning when I get up to preach, it's like, Brad, you preach what I tell you to preach. Well, what if they don't like it? Tough. Tough. This is not an easy message, because nobody wants to hear about the discipline of the Lord. Matter of fact, I don't know that I've ever heard anyone preach on it before. Okay? But we need to know it. Because if you're getting disciplined and you don't know it, you think you're just having a rough life. You think, boy, nothing's going good for me and I don't understand it. Well, it may be that you're under the discipline of the Lord. Because if you're under the discipline of the Lord, nothing's going to go good for you. Okay? That's just the way it is. He can affect you financially. Did you know that finances can get your attention sometimes? If you're going through a difficult time financially, that the Lord can get your attention through finances and a lack thereof. Everything starts going wrong and he's going, man, more money's going out than it's coming in. It's like, wake up. Wake up. I have a friend. The Lord was moving him from a different state to Portland, Oregon. And he said, and the Lord told him, I want you to move. I want you to go to Portland. And he said, well, I've got all of these bills. I'd like to get these bills paid off before I move. $7,000 in debt later, he decided, well, maybe I ought to move and then take care of my debt. And that's what he did. He moved to Portland, and then the finances started coming in so that he could pay his debts. God can get your attention, but you need to be aware of why you're going through what you're going through. Because if it's a financial situation, your finances are not going to get any better until you do what God tells you to do. Okay? Are you tracking? I'm going to leave it there. Another way he gets our attentions, physical pain, get our attention, disease. When we go through those things, man, it's a good idea to ask the Lord, what's going on here? Why am I suffering like I am? Is there something that you've asked me to do that I haven't done? Or is there something I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? Those are some really good questions to ask. Because I think many Christians are suffering in ways that they don't have to suffer because of sin in their life. Now, I don't often, when we take the Lord's Supper, I don't often read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that some of you are suffering because you are taking the body of Christ and using it in an unworthy manner. Here's what I want to ask. What are you doing if you're sick and you're taking the Lord's Supper, and because you haven't taken the body of Christ the way you ought to, my question is, what are you doing to the body of Christ? Are you gossiping about the body of Christ? Are you slandering the body of Christ? Are you not forgiving someone in the body of Christ? So that's what I'm wondering. What's going on if you're sick because you're taking the body of Christ in an unworthy manner? Then what is it that's causing that? Another thing, Tom, You want to share a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. I've asked Tom. Tom felt like the Lord was disciplining him. Okay. And so he's going to share a little bit about that.
So I'm going to make this as quick as possible. So I have to jump back probably about 21, 22 years ago, about 10 years into my walk. Started with the hard heart, okay? I'm not going to get into details. If you ever want to talk about it, buy me some coffee. We'll chat for a couple of hours. But I got a hard heart one day, and it kind of just snuck in. And through circumstance, it manifested itself the way it did. So a few years later, sharp reproof came. And it was, don't do this. And guess what I did? I did it. And about 3 years after that, the Holy Spirit withdrew from me. I felt him. I couldn't feel him anymore. And then I just flat out got angry at God for something that I did. But at the time, I did not recognize that it was me, that it was my problem. So I got angry at God. And up to that point, my walk had been like, man, I was Holy Joe. You wanted to be around me because I was just full of him. And I was. And I don't say that boastfully. It's just the fact. I was so full of Jesus, I could hardly stand myself. And people couldn't either. But anyway, and so what happened was, one day, I got so angry at God for what I had done that I cussed him out. I let him have it. I hadn't said a cuss word in 10 years. And all of a sudden, these things came out of me. The Bible says what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And I'm talking the grandmother of all cuss words. I did not take his name in vain because I will not do that. And I have a very... it's the first thing God did to me when I got saved was tell me, you got to quit taking my name in vain. So I did. Well, anyway, everything else came out. I punched knuckle dents in the top of my van. I was so angry about what happened. I proceeded to get a divorce. It wasn't my doing, wasn't my decision. Anyway, what has gone on since then? I've had cancer twice. Now, this is where it's going to get really quiet and people are going to come talk to me afterwards, and that's okay. I'm willing to talk to you. So I had colon cancer. I had surgery. I was married to Renee at the time. Prior to that, I had prayed to God because I was really bitter. And I said, Lord, if I ever get cancer or something, you're going to have to be there for me because I ain't going to have anybody to take care of me because I am so done with women, not sure why you created them except to make me miserable. And I'm being honest. And so lo and behold, I come down with colon cancer. Pretty serious bout of it. And so anyway, you know, you'd think that that would get my attention. But I was still processing through that whole chemotherapy and everything. I was processing, what is going on, Lord? What are you doing with me? Why can't I stop cussing? Because that day when I said it, poof, man, the anger came out and those little endorphins in your brain that click like you're doing drugs clicked in me, and I was addicted to this behavior. And I couldn't hear his voice. I would always end up at church, and I would always end up praising him eventually. But that wasn't enough. So the next thing that happens, Renee and I are running along. We're all very happily married, and Josiah's a little guy growing up, and everything is good. And then my mouth is not good. My attitude is not good. I'm at work cussing like a sailor. And one day, I think I had a heart attack. So I go to the doctor, and they say, well, let's put you on this thing. And they give me an EKG. Everything's good. They take an x-ray. They call me, say, come back. We got a vascular anomaly. We need another picture. I get another picture. They say, you got to go get a CAT scan. There's something in there. So I go get a CAT scan. My colon cancer had moved into my lung. So this is 2013, right, when they found it? 2014, or 2013, I went in for surgery where they were going to remove this tumor. They ended up having to take the lower lobe out of my left lung, which is about half of my left lung. This whole time, God's talking to me. He's trying to get my attention, and I'm trying to give this anger away. I'm trying to walk away from all this stuff. I'm trying to get right. I miss the Lord. I miss walking down this street, and he's right here. I mean, like, right there. And I miss it. And so I go to this surgery, and I wake up talking like this. I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? And I'm talking as loud as I can, and that's how I talked. And that went on for, what, 6 months before it started getting better? Well, guess what? I'm leading worship down at Union Gospel at Life Change Christian Fellowship there. Me and Renee are leading worship there. And suddenly, I can't sing anymore. I've been a guitar player most of my life. I never started singing till I met Renee. She kind of made me want to sing. And so we would sing, and she would sing harmony, and I would sing like an angel. Not really, but you can't tell, so I'm going to tell you I sing like really good. But but so I'm getting off. So here I am. I've lost my voice. They pinched my vocal cord is what happened. And so you hear me try to sing occasionally up here, and it's not real good. I almost pass out every time I do it. But I know what the Lord said to me. You know what he said to me? He said, Tom, out of the same well, there can't be salt water and fresh water. You're done. And he took it from me. And I never considered that it would bug me to not be able to sing. But before I was worship leader, I was the guy singing so loud in this big church we used to go to, they could hear me on the stage above everybody. I love to praise the Lord. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for all of us that he is praiseworthy. And to not be able to praise the Lord with the wonderful voice has been difficult for me. So I praise him with whatever I got. And that's really all he wants. But I'm here to tell you today, he will discipline you to get you to a point where he wants you to be. And I'm still there. I'm still in the midst of all of this, trying to work through it still. I think I have a little bit of guilt. And I think I'm afraid to get close to God again. Because what if he says, nah, you went too far? And I don't think he'll say that. But I got to believe that he won't say that before I can get there. And in the midst of it, my mouth still opens up when I'm at work. And I still struggle. It's nothing like it was before. And it's rare, more and more rare. Every week, every month, it becomes less and less. But there's still something in me. And I'm still working through it. I want to read this real quick. Psalm 118, verse 18. It says, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. And I'm grateful that in the discipline that he's given me, he still loves me. I'm still his son, and he's still going to bring me home, and he will get me through.
Amen. Amen. The Lord loves you. You've heard the saying that God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. He loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. And the Lord is working. If you are a child of God, the Lord is working in your life to bring about the character of Christ in you. And we can dig in our heels and say, I'm not going to do it. Or we can surrender all. We sang about that a while ago. I surrender all. There have been some occasions in Scripture where there have been people who, because of decisions they made, God took them home early. Do you remember Lot's wife? God said, don't turn back. She turned back. Some of you may be here today and thinking, man, I don't know about this Christian life. I've made a decision to follow Christ, but, you know, I like the old world better. You need to take a lesson from Mrs. Lot. Not turn back. God takes no pleasure in those who turn back. Do you remember? So, in Acts, I think it's chapter 5. There's this couple named Ananias and Sapphira. You remember them? You may say, well, Lot was the Old Testament. Well, Ananias and Sapphira had some property. So here's what was going on in the church. There was people who came to the church who had all different strata of their economic abilities. Some were very poor, some were very rich. And so the rich were actually selling their land and selling extra houses and things to help support the needs of the poor. Ananias and Sapphira said, and because of that, people were lifting them up, not that they wanted to be lifted up, but they were looked upon as very godly individuals. Ananias and Sapphira had some property. And they said, man, I would like to be looked on like that at the church. And so what they did, they sold their property, we'll just say for $50,000, and they gave $30,000 to the church. But they told the church that we sold it for $30,000. God wasn't happy. And Peter said, you didn't lie to me. You didn't lie to the church. You lied to the Holy Spirit. We've got some undertakers here. They're going to go bury you. And so Ananias passed away, died sometimes later after he was buried. Sapphira came in and said, and Peter said, did you sell the land for $30,000? Yep. He said, okay. Same guys that buried your husband are here to bury you. And she died. It's a healthy thing to have the fear of the Lord. It's a healthy thing to have the fear of the Lord. You may say, well, our Father in heaven doesn't treat his children like that. I have a friend who's a Christian, not for very long, but he kept participating in activities that he should not have been participating in. And one day, after participating in a certain sinful activity, coming over Mount Hood, he has an accident. When he has the accident, God says to him, if you ever do that again, I'll kill you. Then the Lord went on to explain, because I don't want you to live in the misery that you're creating for yourself. And I will bring you home so you don't have to live in that misery. This has been many, many years ago. He said he's never participated in that activity again. It's a healthy thing to have the fear of the Lord. Now, there's a difference between the fear of the Lord and being afraid of the Lord. Having the fear of the Lord causes you and allows you to draw close to Him, while being afraid of the Lord causes you to distance yourself from Him. Here's what I want to do this morning. I'm not going to finish this message. I'm about halfway done. Get back to it next week. But it's very possible that one of the reasons the Lord led me to preach this message is because there's some of you here who have been running from the Lord. Some of you here who have been making decisions that you know is contrary to what God wants you to do. And there's a warning here. God says, I love you. I love you with all my heart. But I love you too much to let you stay the way you are. So this morning, if there's something that God is impressing upon you that you need to do, then I'm going to give you an opportunity to come here to the altar. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come here and talk to me. I can pray for you. If you need to go to someone in the room, have them pray for you or discuss some things, then I'm going to give you liberty to do that as we have the invitation time. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I remember your discipline in my life. Lord, I pray that everyone here, including myself, when we hear your voice, you encourage and urge us to do something, Lord, that we would be quick to do it, be quick to obey. Lord, you do love us. Just like my dad disciplining me, it worked some wonderful things in my life. So, Lord, that's what you're doing for us as well. And, Lord, I want to thank you for your loving discipline. Give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. Trust him in his presence daily.
Let us worship and bow down. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God.
Thank
Lord. We just. All right. All the new members, please head to the doorway. Father, we just praise you today. Thank you, Lord. I know this is a difficult message for any pastor to preach, and I thank you for our pastor who's willing to preach the word just like you give it to him. Lord, I just thank you that you care for us and you love us. And in your discipline, it's not to drive us from you, but to call us toward you. So, Lord, I just pray that for those of us who have been disciplined, you would help us to recognize the fact that you're not done with us. You want us to come to you. And Lord, I pray that today every one of us would leave here renewed and revived and different than when we walked through the doors today, that we would go out of here and be your light and salt into this world that desperately needs us to be followers of Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.